Welcome to Education Currents, a show designed to provide current educational news and commentary from a Christian worldview. The greatest resource any community has is its children, and by providing for them the best possible education, we are providing for ourselves and future generations. Join us as we explore the latest social and political issues surrounding education. Here are your hosts, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. I'm here with Joshua Annan, a young man of 25 years. And we're going to talk today about the millennials. I think this is a fascinating subject. We made sure we had it right. It's anyone born from 1980 to the year 2000, which covers about 15 to 35 years of age. And you're almost in the middle of it all.
Yes.
So we're first going to talk about health. What does a millennial need to be healthy, and what are some of the pitfalls that they're facing?
I believe that what a millennial needs to be healthy is just knowledge of health in the first place. I would say that at this time, we're starting to get a better idea of what health is about. Many of us work jobs where we're at desks all day long, not like our ancestors who were working in fields and gardening. And of course, we have so much technology that we don't feel the need to move around so much. But brands such as McDonald's, they're starting to suffer, while brands such as Chipotle are doing better and better, because millennials can see, okay, Chipotle is the healthier option. Childhood obesity is on the rise. I need to change my ways. However, our parents who raised the millennials, sometimes they didn't raise us with the best health habits. And especially when we went to go to college, wow.
What was the biggest temptation health-wise when you were in college? Ooh. Were you exposed to, you know, drugs or substances and things like that?
Yes, I went to a non-Christian university, so I did see a lot of those things. I've seen people, you know, passed out drunk. I've seen people suffer from alcohol poisoning, going into someone's room and they're high. And, you know, I didn't participate in those things. However, when I saw it happen, I would see that, you know, people want some sort of escape. So they turn to drugs and alcohol. And even with food, food is constantly an escape for many people. Pizza was everywhere. I discovered
a pizza addiction.
Yeah, pizza was, I mean, there was one place that would sell you a fairly large pizza for $5. And when you're in college and you don't feel like cooking, you just eat more and more and more. And there's hot dogs here and just trash everywhere you go.
Now, do you think that food impacts the mind to the extent where it can be deleterious to learning?
Absolutely. You know, a vegetarian diet is what I believe is best. However, if someone does eat meat, I believe that they should try to eat the right meats. So eating the legs and the wings of the chicken has a lot of fat. And when you take more and more fat into your body, it affects your mind as well. It can create, it can impede your blood flow. So not as much blood goes to your brain as it should. And when you combine that with a lack of exercise, it can even have more dire effects.
You know, it's so encouraging to hear you talk, because we have been told as baby boomers who have had all these millennials that we would see our children die because of all of the media promoting very unhealthy foods and the fast food industry. And so it's almost a ground roots movement within yourselves that you've said, no, we're not going to die. Our parents won't see us die. We're actually going to be healthier.
Yes.
And it's a choice that you've made. Now, in your circle of friends, have they made this choice as well?
I tend to influence my friends health-wise. I have one friend, he lost about 30 pounds.
Wow.
I had another friend who was my roommate freshman year of college. He lost several pounds as well. Really and truly, once they start to realize the kind of effect that it's having on their lives and the fact that they may look at themselves and just be ashamed, they then realize that a change needs to be made. But before all those things happen, they would have to simply listen to wise counsel and say, you know what? Yeah, this person is right. Something needs to change.
So you you influenced your friend. Did you actually help him develop a, you know, some good habits or?
I did. I'm still very much into fitness and health, and he saw that, and he was tired of having a large belly. Mm-hmm. The rest of him wasn't very large, but he had a large belly, and he felt like his chest, that he felt that he mm-hmm. had man breasts.
Yes.
And at 25 years old, you don't want to have man breasts. So he started to work out vigorously. He started to run sprints, which is a very effective mm-hmm. way of burning off fat. And he also started to eat healthier, and he's a vegetarian now too. So his blood is very good. His cardiovascular system is running very efficiently too.
Now, you mentioned how the media, you know, this digital era keeps us focused. Our whole lives can become a virtual life, so yes. to speak. Our mind is, you know, running here and there, but our body isn't. Now, do you have some habits or some strategies that you can share with us so that you can balance this media with a healthy lifestyle?
Well, I would say that for media, the challenge for our generation especially is the fact that we have smartphones. So it's very different from previous generations where, let's say, they could binge just watching television all day. For us, we choose what media we want to watch, and we can see it at any time of the day. So what constantly starts to happen is that many millennials will find a show on, say, Netflix that they really enjoy, and they'll binge watch. They'll watch episode after episode after episode of this show and just be completely addicted to it. And it can take up their whole day. Video games as well. I met a young man at Washington Adventist University yesterday. He's a freshman, and he said that he would wake up at 5 a.m. to play a basketball game, like a video game mm-hmm. where you play basketball, and he would play up until 5 p.m. at night.
Wow.
Right, during the breaks. It's very unhealthy. It's a complete waste of time. However, in moderation, I don't think it's so bad.
So what strategies do you have to keep from becoming addicted to it?
Oh, I would say find more hobbies that are beneficial mm-hmm. to your life. Because if you know that you have multiple things to do, you won't occupy all of your time doing something that isn't so important. So for me, it's learning Portuguese. It's
fitness. But you probably do that with your smartphone.
I do.
I'm just guessing, but.
Yeah, I do. That becomes an issue. Mm-hmm. It really does.
But it is a wonderful learning tool too, and that needs to be
it needs to be utilized.
Yeah.
In moderation, of course. Right? Yeah.
So what are all the things that you do with your smart device?
Wow. I mean, I do my Sabbath School quarterly with it. I study the Bible. I learn Portuguese. I send emails. I send messages. I call people. My battery typically dies, you know, very early in the day. They're so necessary for our lives. We have to use them as our GPSs mm-hmm. when we have to go someplace. We to research anything we need to research at any given time. There's so much.
And your calendar is on there.
My calendar is on there. My everything.
I mean, you have helped me learn how to navigate my smart device, so I appreciate that. Okay, so we've talked about a little bit about health and a little bit about media for the millennials. Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to go to courtship and marriage.
Ah.
And maybe we can just transition with, does media play any role in the relationships that you build?
Absolutely. What's very scary for me, even though I'm not a parent yet, is the effect that MySpace and Facebook has had on our generation. You know, in my parents' generation, the baby boomers, if they had someone from their past and they moved to a different place, that person from their past would have absolutely no way of getting in contact with them unless he got in touch with someone who is currently in that person's present. Do you understand what I mean?
Yes, you have to write a letter, have to keep track with an address book.
Right. But now, just look on Facebook. You can find anyone from any part of your life.
I have this question because I did get, you know, I do have a Facebook account. Very proud of that. Probably have four of them because I didn't know that you didn't have to set up an account each time when I first started. The thing of it is, I hear my millennials in my family, like my children. So I have these children that all, they encouraged me to get on Facebook originally. And then I've noticed in the course of time that when they get upset with each other, like my two daughters, if they get upset with each other, they unfriend them.
Right.
But I don't even know if I know how to unfriend. I mean, I wouldn't even know if I was unfriended. It would have no impact upon me whatsoever if I was befriended or unfriended. I would never know.
Well, that's very serious.
Yeah, but so they take it very serious. I mean, they're very hurt when they're unfriended by one or the other. Why is that, though? I mean, help me understand why that is so significant. Because like you said, in my generation, we had to keep track with and we had address books, and we wrote down the address, and we had to send a letter.
Mm-hmm. I believe that social media has been such a replacement for real life that when you unfriend someone, it's like you're removing them from your life. As if you don't want them to see your posts because you don't want them to know what's going on in your life. You don't want them to see any pictures of you. So it's really something deep when you go on someone's, you try to go on someone's page and you realize you can't see anything because you two aren't friends anymore.
We have to take a break right here. When we come back, we'll unpack it a little bit better. We'll be right back.
If you missed part of today's show, you'd like a copy for yourself or to share with a friend, then please go to our website, lifetalk.net, and click the podcast page. All of LifeTalk's live interactive talk shows are posted on our site and are free for you at any time. If you don't have an internet connection or you just want a compact disc of today's show, call 800-775-4673 with your credit card ready, because you'll be asked for a small donation to help cover our costs. Also, we'd like to hear what you thought of today's show. Please send us an email, include the title of the show on the subject line, and send that email to office@lifetalk.net. That's office@lifetalk.net.
Welcome back. I'm talking with Joshua Annan, who's been so kind to give us a glimpse into what it is like to be a millennial. This is the generation that it's been predicted will die off because of all the Kraft macaroni and cheese and the McDonald's and all of the fast food. And he's explained to us that there's actually a movement within the millennials that really do seek to live in a healthy way, to manage media so it's not an addictive thing. And now we're going to talk about courtship and marriage. How is that for a millennial?
Well, like I was mentioning in regards to, say, Facebook, what happens is that there are so many people who you can instantly get into contact with who should really have no part in your life anymore. So if you used to be in a relationship with someone, they can now see everything that's going on in your current life. They know if you're in a relationship now or not. Whenever they're feeling lonely, they could try to contact you. If they are jealous of the situation that you're now in, the relationship that you're now in, they can try to say something or actually get in touch with that person, because that person is now very accessible too. So if I have a girlfriend now, which I do, and let's say I somehow have a jealous ex-girlfriend, she can easily figure out how to get into contact with my current girlfriend and say whatever she wants to say. And so really and truly, my belief is that perhaps when I get married, I really need to delete my Facebook because I wouldn't want anyone to interfere with my marriage. If I have children, I don't need everyone else in the world who's Facebook friends with me to know that I have children now or to know their name.
And you probably, with your level of digital fluency, probably could craft your Facebook or social media page in such a way that it would just be limited to close family and friends.
I could.
I recently saw a post where a man, he probably is a little older than a millennial, but he, when he came on, the first time I saw, after I befriended him, the first post I saw is he said, "I just want everyone to know that my wife reads all of my Facebook account." And I thought at the time, of course, for me, I'm old enough to be his mother. I'm going, well, you know, good for his wife to have the kind of time to read all his Facebook book entries. But it would be a safeguard maybe for that other woman that might be seeking to connect with him to know that his, you know, this is a mutual thing.
Right.
We're in this together.
That's right.
So for marriage, what, you know, do you have a... an analytical, sequential list of what a millennial should do to make sure they don't do the same mistakes that the generation before them made?
Yes. Yes, I do, actually. Maybe not in a sequential order. However, I would say that we really have to get our finances in order. Part of the reason why the older generations got married at an earlier age than our generation, they had a better sense of security. The reason why was because people could graduate from high school and just get a job in a factory and just keep working their way up, making more and more money. You know, their wife may not even have to work. They could have a bunch of children. That's unheard of for our generation. All of us now feel the need that we have to go to college. And what typically happens is that because the cost of college is so high, so many people are taking out student loans. And because they weren't taught how to manage their finances, they're now buried under a load of debt at a very young age. Mm-hmm. Now, the difference between having a lot of debt at an older age and a younger age, at an older age, it affects your retirement. At a younger age, it affects your relationships.
Mm-hmm.
It affects marriage. The marriage age is being pushed back, not only because of promiscuity and how that's being more and more accepted, but because of the fact that people can't afford to get married.
Mm-hmm.
People aren't buying as many houses these days. Mm-hmm. Why? Because they can't afford to. But the whole reason they went to college in the first place was so that they could get good jobs to pay for everything. But there's not as many good jobs out there now. So there's a very serious predicament going on. I know people in their late 20s, early 30s, who don't know when they're going to get married. And part of it is because of where they are financially right now. So it's a real crisis that's going on.
You know, as you were saying that, I'm thinking, how wise is that? Because one of the leading causes of split-ups and fractious relationships in a marriage is finance.
Yes.
Finances, or lack of finances, right, create such a pressure cooker of stress. Mm-hmm. You are just, you know, where is the food going to come from, even that you're going to put on the table for your family, you know? How are you going to prioritize what you're going to pay?
Right.
And the bill collectors. Mm-hmm. It's very difficult. So if a young man or a young woman chooses to postpone marriage because of that, they're wise. At the same time, in your experience, you're only 25, but did you begin to feel anxious that all the good ones would be taken?
No. This is very sad, but I actually grew up thinking, are you ready for this? I grew up in a church where the youth were so lukewarm that I grew up thinking I won't find my wife until I'm about 28, because that's when all the girls who left the church will start to come back. So I said, oh, okay, I have some time. But you know, the Bible says that, of course, you know, it's better to marry than to burn. So I didn't want to be promiscuous. And really and truly, if there's a young Christian out there who wants to be married, who wants to be in a Christian relationship, I think the easiest way to do that is just to surround themselves with other Christians. You know, I'm a part of, you know, different Adventist organizations. I tend to meet a lot of young adults on a regular basis. If I were single, it would be nothing for me to meet someone new.
Mm-hmm.
But if you just go to the same exact church every week and you don't do anything outside of that, it's going to be much more difficult for you to find someone who you find that you're equally yoked with.
Yes.
Family.
So now we're going to transition into views on religion. Millennials. What do you think about their views on religion? I mean, I think you're an exceptional young man and probably an exception to the rule. So let's talk first in general. What do you see out there as one of their views?
I would say more than 80% of the different millennials that I come across have this view that your truth is your truth and my truth is my truth. Whatever I believe is the way that the world works, the way that God works, that's just somehow true.
So there's no absolute truth.
Right. And I believe that, especially for me, as a Seventh Day Adventist, it hurts a lot. And the reason for that is, I believe that our faith cannot be disproved. And the reason why our faith cannot be disproved is because of the fact that it's strictly biblical. However, so many people have ideas about the Bible saying that, oh, you can't trust the Bible, or, well, I believe this, and that's Old Testament. And it gets to the point where it makes me cringe when I hear people speak, because I thought that a rational perspective would be, hey, if I'm Adventist and you're Lutheran or you're Baptist, could we just open up the Bible and see mm-hmm. what it has to say about certain topics? But, you know, even many people within those churches and ours as well don't fully believe the things that the Bible says. And it's very sad.
So, you know, coming from a family where your mother had one set of beliefs and your father had another set of beliefs, how did you decide what to believe?
I decided, okay, my father is a Catholic, and my belief is that even, you know, many of the Catholics I've spoken to, even when they're in the Catholic Church, they know that something is kind of off. They know that, why is it that I have to confess my beliefs to this priest? You know, why is it that I have to participate in this service? It just doesn't feel natural. For my father, he wasn't actually going to church at the time when we were growing up as children, my brother and my sister. And my mother, she was a faithful Seventh-day Adventist. And so we would always go to church with her, because my father at the time wasn't going. Later on, he had an accident where I think the kitchen caught on fire. Mm. He started to feel like, oh, I need Jesus in my life, so mm-hmm. I'm going to go to church. Nothing outside of that, but I'm going to go to church. Really and truly, I would never, ever, ever recommend that two people get married who are unequally yoked. I would never recommend that. Even though my parents entered that sort of marriage, and I believe that I'm on good spiritual ground now, I believe that's all by the grace of God, mm-hmm. and that was him being merciful. But for others who are out there, I would never recommend the same thing. If you have a certain belief and you truly believe that that is from God, follow that and be with someone who mm-hmm. believes the same thing.
That's a wonderful way to conclude the show. Thank you, as a millennial, for speaking with us and sharing some insights into what the challenges are that you're facing. And I have one last thing to say, and that is keep learning.
You have been listening to Education Currents, a production of MRG Media Ministries. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.